We can turn now to the portion of God's Word read, Song of Solomon, chapter 2. And as we may be enabled, we can read again at verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The Song of Solomon is speaking about a relationship, a loving relationship between Christ and his church. It does not particularly refer to the relationships that Solomon had with the many wives that he had, but rather to Christ and his church. We know that from verse 2 here, for example. Verse 2 and in chapter 1. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his love, for thy love is better than wine. This is the kiss of someone very special. Someone very particular and very peculiar. And we know also from verse 8 in chapter 1 that this is referring to someone very special. O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Well, this is not referring to anyone in particular, but rather to this very distinctive person who is the church. The church. So the relationship here is not between a man and a woman, but between Christ and his church, with Christ as the bridegroom and his church as the bride. And the words of our text here are the words of the bride to the bridegroom, and he's recommending, or she's recommending him. The church is recommending Christ, and she's doing that from her own experience of him. And it is obviously those who have experience of the Lord Jesus Christ who are best able to recommend the Lord Jesus Christ to others. So firstly, we'll look at the Lord Jesus Christ here in our text as a suitable help. A suitable help. The church here is applying herself to the Lord Jesus Christ. She's looking at him as somebody very particular and very special. Look what she says in verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood. If you were to go through a wood or a forest, every tree would more or less look the same to you and to me. But the church here is saying that as she goes through this wood, she's seeing this particular tree, which is distinctive and altogether different from every other tree in the wood. And that tree is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she calls that tree the apple tree. The apple tree. It's as if this is the one that she's particularly delighting in and interested in. It's a bit like if we can use the illustration of a traveller. He's travelled, say, a long, long journey, and he's had to grapple with so many difficulties on the journey. And he's looking for somewhere where he might take rest and where he might take ease for a while, so as to build up his strength again and nourish himself. And that's what the church is doing here. We read elsewhere in the song that she is presented as coming up out of the wilderness, coming up or coming through this world, the whole church, and she's leaning upon her beloved. It's as if the whole church is resting upon this distinctive and particular individual and looking to that person for all her help, for all her strength, for all her perseverance, and to take her to her ultimate end, which is heaven. So this is how the church here describes the Lord Jesus Christ as an apple tree among all the trees of the wood. Very distinctive, altogether different, and altogether precious, refreshing, revitalizing, and rebuilding to her. Those of you here, for example, who have lived for any length of time in a foreign country, see, you're used to scorching hot weather in these foreign lands. And in these foreign lands, say, for example, if you go on holiday abroad, you know how it is when you're out in the heat of the day and the temperature is soaring and you're looking for a place to shelter. Not from the rain, but from the sun. Well, that's the way the church is here too. She's not only looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who is the apple tree who will refresh her, but she's also looking to him as a shadow. Now, when you're abroad or when I'm abroad, very often we tend to take shelter in a shadow where the temperature is cooler. And we appreciate that shadow, even just for 5 minutes to get out of the heat of the sun, of the midday sun. And that's what the church is doing here. She's appreciating the shadow that Christ affords to her in the heat of the world. Not necessarily because of the sun, but just because of the heat and the temperature of this world, in the sense that this world is full of sin and full of sinners. This is the need that poor sinners like you and I have. This need of a shadow whereby we might come to sit down and to rest a while. That's what the church is doing here. See what it says. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow. It's like a traveller coming to his resting place. He sits down for refreshment. It's like the one who goes on holiday abroad, or the one who works abroad. When he comes in from the heat of the day, he sits down in the shade of the sun and he feels refreshment. You know that the result of the fall of mankind has made God to you and to me like unto us as a consuming fire. A consuming fire. That's what God is to each one of us. He's a consuming fire. He's an offended God. His justice has been offended by us. His holiness has been walked over and trampled upon by us. His truth has been rejected by us, and it has provoked his displeasure against us. And in that state, it's as if the rays of God and his brightness are coming right down upon our own heads. You know how the Bible speaks of us as outside of Christ, as under the wrath of God. Those who believe not, they are condemned already, says the Apostle Paul. It's as if the temperature of the air that you and I breathe in this world has become so hot, that had a shadow not been provided for us, we would be soon utterly consumed by that consuming fire who is God himself. We would be burned up. And the prophet Isaiah speaks of this very thing when he tells us that a man shall be a hiding place from the wind. A hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You look at all the high hills that there are here on the Isle of Skye. All the mountains round the whole of Skye. You think of these mountains on the warmest day of the year becoming a shelter for the sheep and for the lambs in the heat of the sun. You think of those holiday makers who come here to climb these mountains and who try to climb them in the shade of the sun. That's the idea we've got here. That's the picture that is given to us of this rock that is casting a shadow, and that shadow is a shelter for everyone who will come to it, that they might sit down, rest a while, and be relieved from the heat of that midday sun. Now it says, and as we were referring, the prophet, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says that a man shall be a hiding place from the wind. A man shall be a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry land. A man shall be a great rock in a weary land. Now that man, you know well that man is the man Christ Jesus. He is the one that has been provided by God to provide a shadow for us from the heat of the sun. From the heat, not so much of the natural sun, but of the wrath of God. The wrath of God. He, being God, became incarnate. Now, to become incarnate means the act by which God became man. You know how John puts it in his gospel? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, who is full of grace and truth. So that the Son of God became man. In other words, he took manhood into and alongside his Godhood. And when he did that, he did not cease to be what he was, but he became what he was not. He continued to be God, and he became as a man, so that he is the God-man. And in becoming the God-man, it's as if he becomes a veil between us and God. It's as if, in a sense, he becomes a glass dark between God and man. You think of a photographer. If he's taking a picture or she's taking a picture in bright sunshine, they'll choose a lens that maybe has a tint in it, a dark tint in it, just to take the glare off the photo. Well, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ does when he becomes man. He comes between God and man to take the glare away from us, so that he does not become to us anymore as a consuming fire, but rather that we find him now to be most gracious in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we have now boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, says the apostle to the Hebrews, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And another illustration of this, a biblical illustration, is from the Old Testament. You remember when the children of Israel were travelling through the wilderness on their way to the promised land. You remember in the daytime, in the nighttime, they were led by a pillar of fire. A pillar of fire led them as they made their journey through the night. They could see that fire. But during the day, it was a cloud that led them. Now, we often think of the cloud as representative of the presence of the Lord. And so it is. So it is. It was the presence of the Lord. It signified the presence of the Lord leading them through on their journey as they went along. But it was the cloud also that preserved them from the scorching heat of the sun in the land at that time. It was the cloud coming between them and the sun during the day that kept them cooler and preserved them and enabled them to continue on their journey. You would be surprised if all the clouds were removed from the sky today. The heat, the sudden heat that would burst through to you and me would be almost unbelievable. You see how cool the temperature becomes when the sun goes behind the clouds. And when there is a cloudless sky, how warm the sun is. And this is how the cloud preserved the children of Israel. And in the same way, the man Christ Jesus, he's mediating between God and men, between us and an offended God. And this is good news. This is good news for you and for me, us poor sinners here today, that this shadow is cast under which you and I can hide ourselves away from the heat of God's wrath. You might feel afraid coming to prayer, but when you come to prayer, you must remember that you don't come yourself alone, but you come through this mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives and affords this shadow to you for needy sinners. And he does that on account of the satisfaction that he has made to the law and the justice of God for us. Paul puts it like this in writing to the Corinthians in his own day, when he says to them in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's as if he is saying that all that is necessary, all that is absolutely necessary for him and for his salvation is the death and sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as if he is saying that all that he needs is to be under and in this shadow provided for him by this great rock, the rock of ages, the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. In Christ providing himself to be a shadow, he has taken all the rays and all the beams of the scorching wrath of God upon himself. And he has done that in order to keep the heat of that wrath from them. From them who are in that shadow and who betake themselves to that shadow. Again, Paul says that he was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, so that all who are under that shadow are safe. Because the thick branches of this tree, this apple tree, distinctive from all the trees of the wood, the thick branches hide them, so that the beams and the rays of God's heated wrath against them only meets the branch and not them. And in doing that, this great and distinctive apple tree absorbs that wrath upon himself. As the prophet Isaiah says in that great chapter, chapter 53, the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquities of us all. And on account of what he has done in dying that death for them and in taking that wrath upon himself, he bids sinners to come to him for the storm of God's wrath has blown upon him for them. He bids them to come and to find in him this shelter that they so desperately need. He bids them that the sky is now clear and it is now safe for us guilty sinners to come unto him. That is what he says. And he has provided for all to be a shadow. He's a great rock in a weary land, and he casts a shadow. In other words, he's for all the inhabitants in that weary land. And as he is a great rock casting a shadow in a weary land, by the proclamation of the gospel going throughout our island and throughout our nation, he's provided as a great rock casting a shadow for all in the land, whatever you are or have been. As we read in John chapter 3, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is your warrant to believe the gospel. That is the warrant that you and I have to come. This great invitation that is given to you to betake yourself to this one who has provided this shadow. It would be small comfort to you or to me here today, to us poor scorched sinners, if Christ were only some kind of private shadow. I'm thinking along these lines. You know how some people who are keen on their gardens, some people make a kind of shelter in their garden. They have a kind of arbor where they can sit down and rest. Maybe a shelter from the sun or a shelter from a side wind. That's their private shelter. But that's no use to someone who has travelled a distance and who has no access to that private garden. No access at all. It's no use to a traveller or a holidaymaker who is walking along the street to see this place of rest, this shadowy shelter in someone else's garden when they've got no access to it. It's no use to them. But Christ is not some kind of private shelter. He is a public shelter. He's a great rock in a weary land. He's among the trees of the wood, yes, but he stands out for them all. He's there to be had, and he's there to whosoever will come under that shadow. You remember how the Bible closes in Revelation chapter 22. It says that the Spirit and the Bride, the Holy Spirit and the Church, are telling people to come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the waters of life freely. What a glorious invitation. But how sad it is that you, as a poor sinner here today, are so averse to that invitation that you will not come. They will not take themselves to be refreshed in this shadow. So that's the first point here today. And secondly, and more briefly, what it is to sit down under this shadow. What it is to sit down. We've seen that Christ is the shadow. Christ is the apple tree, distinctive and particular and peculiar and totally and altogether unique from all the other trees of the wood. But secondly, what is it to sit down? To sit down. Well, to sit down under the shadow of Christ is nothing more than coming to him in the call of the gospel and to believe in him. You sit down every day after your work. You'll sit down and rest there a while. You'll take yourself to your own seat in the living room and you'll sit down there. The sitting down that is referred to here is just the sitting down of faith. It's resting and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. That's all it means. It's to sit down and be at peace with God through Christ. And so all may, and the invitation is to all, yet none will. All may, but none will come under Christ's shadow, but only those who become sensible of their sins. Put it like this. When you're in that foreign land and if you're not feeling the heat of the day, You won't feel the need of going into the shade. So in the same way here, if you're not feeling the awfulness of your sinfulness, so you will not go into the shade that Jesus Christ provides. Until you see that you are a sinner, you will not feel your need of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's when you come to see yourself as a sinner, in the real sense of the term, and feel the awfulness and the terribleness of your state as a sinner, and feel that you are ready to faint in that state, it's then that you will betake yourself to the shade provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is seen in the instance of the prodigal son. He came to see himself as a sinner, that all of his righteousnesses were as filthy rags, and that his iniquities would carry him away to a lost eternity if he was not saved. Have you ever come to discover that for yourself? That if you remain as a sinner outside of Christ, you will be carried off away to that lost eternity. You must come to feel your own sinfulness in the light of what God reveals to you of himself in the scriptures, that he is holy and that he is undefiled, that he is infinitely holy, the Holy One of Israel, and that you are altogether different to what he is, and therefore you are just not suitable for the environment of heaven, wherein no unclean thing dwelleth, and that you need the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come to that condition and that state, you'll be like the prodigal. You'll be weary, you'll be faint, and you'll be saying like the prodigal, I perish here. I'm about to perish. Have you ever come to think that? That I'm going to perish in my sins if I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? And like the prodigal, very often you go to every other man-made shadow that you can think of to try to hide yourself in. The prodigal himself, he would fain have eaten the husks that the pigs would eat, but he was given none. He would have gone elsewhere. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, who provides the only suitable shade and shelter, is the last place that any sinner will look to. They'll try this way and that way, that shelter, that covering, this refuge, this help, but they'll find, by the mercy of God, that there will be no shelter anywhere. Like the prodigal found, there's no shelter anywhere but to make his way back home and to come under the roof of his father's house once more. There was no shelter, no refuge anywhere to be found but in Christ. What shelters are you hiding under this day? Are they suitable? Are they substantial? Are they long-lasting? Or have you given them up and found them out to be useless, like a prodigal. When he went to eat of the food that the pigs ate of, and found that he could not get it, because the owner would not give it to him, he had nowhere else to go. Have you been boxed in like that? Have you been brought to that place that there is no one else to look to but to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to say with a psalmist who doesn't look left or right, this way or that way, but who says, "Whom have I in the heavens high but thee, O Lord, alone, and in the earth whom I desire besides thee, there is none." That's the experience of the Lord's people here today. They're driven out of themselves and out of every other safety that they think they're safe in, and they're brought under the shadow of this great rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this weary land in which you and I live here today. Oh, I beseech you, my friend, I beseech you to come under this shelter yourself, to discover for yourself the Lord Jesus Christ to be the only refuge to which you will come and trust in for your salvation. All your creature comforts will be of no benefit to you against the wrath that will at last be poured out. There will be nothing to deflect it from you. It will hit you full on, and you will have to stand and bear it. Oh, my friend, it doesn't need to be like that when there is such great provision for you in the gospel. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The idea here is of finding what I've always been looking for. I've at last found the satisfaction, and it's in the last place that I ever thought I would find it. What a delight, spending so much time looking everywhere else and not finding what you're looking for, and then ultimately finding it in Christ. What satisfaction. What satisfaction. Amen. May he bless his word. Let us pray.